Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor. Fridays are our favorite day because it is Football Friday, brought to you by Burkle's One Block Over. And I'll tell you what, we've got a very, very special guest, a great friend of the program, a gentleman that we've had on here before. And Dennis, who is, you know, you were such... Tony, you got to understand, Dennis, he does tell you... How do you describe your music, Dennis?
Well, a little bit of rock and roll mixing with some makeup and some long hair.
So who would you be most like when you guys are on stage?
They compare me. They say like David Lee Roth kind of stuff.
David Lee Roth. This is Tony's wheelhouse. It. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a great friend, Tony Mandrich, to the show.
Woo! Thank
Good
you guys.
Morning, Tony. Thank you for getting up
Good
early
morning.
Out in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, Tony, Johnny was, in his introduction, he mentioned a lot of great things, great athlete, great this, great that, but you're a great inspiration too. And I want to, when you were on last time or it was the time before, man, I got more calls from people saying, I just didn't know that about Tony Mandrich. So you're an inspiration to a lot of people too. I just wanted to add that to your lineup.
Repertoire.
Well, that's
well, I appreciate that. There was a lot of things that were necessary that had to happen. So yeah, as you get older, the road narrows and you just keep on grinding.
Yep.
That's outstanding. Awesome. Well, Tony, one of the things I want to talk to you about first though, is your era on first playing for George Perlis and Hank Bulla one of my favorite people in the world. Do you know who one of my favorite coaches of all time? That was one of your coaches at Michigan State.
Who's that?
Buck Nystrom.
Oh my gosh. I mean, a legend,
yep.
An icon,
yep.
one of the greatest, people I've ever met in my life. Really took me to the next level as far as a player goes. And, you know, I thought I was demanding on myself and expected a lot out of myself, but man, that coach could make you, you know, work harder than you ever thought you could work.
Yeah. He's from the UP and, was a great, he was probably 5'9", huh, Tony? And he was like,
he wasn't very big,
but just tough. And he was an all Big Ten lineman at Michigan State when they won the Rose Bowl. And he spoke to our high school football team one time. And you want to talk about, you would literally get up and run through a wall. And he talked about, he worked on the railroads in summer. Okay. Out of high school. And he would keep a blocking dummy in the back of his truck. And at lunchtime, after working on laying railroad ties for lunch, he would hit the blocking dummy. And that might sound like some old wives' tale of legend, but it's the truth, isn't it, Tony? And you could see him doing that.
It is. And that is probably, I didn't know that story, but that is a perfect description of what Buck was like. And, you know, you had mentioned, I mean, he was not only in the 60s or when they won the Big Ten, and I think they won the national championship, one of those years. Buck was one of the only players, even to this day, that is an All-American, academic All-American, and an All-American football player.
Jeez. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. I mean, the demand that takes and the discipline and the study and all that, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Tony, we always talk, and Dennis here, who's the lead singer of the Glam Band, which is ridiculously popular band throughout Wisconsin and the Midwest, and Jim and I talk about it. There's always that one person that maybe made the biggest difference. How about for yourself?
As far as football goes?
Just life. Football, whatever.
You know, we get people in here that are, of course, everyone's more talented than me and Johnny. But And we always ask them, you know, who was that one? Who was it? Because not everybody has one. But if there was a person that really really helped you get on the right track, who would that be?
Well, I mean, I would have to say my brother, John.
Awesome.
You know, he's 5 years older, and you know, everything, and he played football, and everything that he did, it was stuff that I aspired to do. And you know, he taught me so many things as far as discipline goes, and that, you know, details matter. Every detail matters that you do in preparation in anything. And a lot of those things, even to this day, that, you know, he taught me 40 years ago, I still practice.
And that's usually the common thread. It's it, I mean, not that it's relation. It could be, you know, teacher or this, that. But mm-hmm. it's like they taught you a lifelong skill. You know what I mean? Because I think we all learn Absolutely. Certain things in seventh grade, eighth grade, high school, college. But the people who taught you something that you still use today, that's a real yeah. mentor. That's cool. Yeah, so that's your brother. That's awesome. Yeah. Shout out to John.
Yeah, and there's you know, and there's many. I mean, there's others. You know, George Perlis was one. Buck was one. Nick Saban was one. You know, the list goes on. But you know, obviously, the first one that comes to mind is my brother John.
Cool. That's outstanding.
Right. God bless
him. So I suppose your older brother John, being 5 years older, was still probably big enough to throttle you yet, you know? And
I met him.
Sure,
you know what I, hey, Tony? You know what I remember?
To keep you disciplined.
You know what
you
I
know
remember
what I mean?
About John when I first met him? He had the What's strongest that? Wrists and hands. He was like country strong. Oh, do you know what I mean? Yes, right, yes, Tony?
Picking the rock strong.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of summers in Canada growing up where all summer. We were baling hay, you know, and throwing them into the back of wagons being, you know, pulled by tractors. And summer holiday was not necessarily summer holiday. You know, it was like summer work.
We were just talking about that. Dennis grew up on a farm. And we're talking. I asked him, what is picking rocks? People talk about a job that sucked. What was picking rocks, Tony?
Well, you basically, I mean, you get a bunch of people that are working and you walk, you know, like in a line and you just kind of like look in the ground where they're going to either, you know, plow a field or do whatever. And any rocks that will cause damage to farm equipment, you end up picking up and putting, you know, in a smaller, you know, wagon with a tractor and get them out of the field. And then, you know, we would always throw ours by the side of the barn, you know, before you knew it, by the end of the summer, you had a huge rock. Well,
right. So John, you know, who grew up sheltered, he's like, did you carry, that's what he asked Tony. This is what he said. He goes, did you like carry a bucket with you to put the rocks in? I'm like, dude.
that's what John was. John was picking up gravel.
Right. That's what I said. It's pea gravel. Well, I'm getting an education from Tony Madrich on picking rocks and how to farm. That's awesome. Hey, Tony, one thing I have to laugh about, though, man, these training camps, and, you know, they saw some interviews, and man, the grind is over. You know, now it's time. It's like, what grind? You, my God, from what you guys used to do and hitting during 2 days versus now? Isn't it incredible?
Yeah. It is. I mean, it really is. You know, I think that the jury's still out on if this is effective or not, or, you know, like 15, 20 years are going to have to go by and then compare injuries, compare, you know, concussions over time. But, you know, I'm seeing players, a lot of players get hurt that aren't even being hit. Like, so they're running downfield and they plant and then all of a sudden, you know, their knee goes or something goes, or blocks that aren't very like, you know, the impact is not huge, but something's giving way, whether it's a shoulder, you know, whatever the case may be. But I've seen some just odd injuries happen. And I think, you know, in my personal opinion, I think it's because of a lack of hitting or getting the body used to hitting at practice. So, you know, our first 5 days at camp would have probably nine hitting practices.
Sure.
In 5 days. I think it's limited to maybe a season of nine hitting practices.
I agree. Over that 15 years, it's going to be interesting to compare injuries, compare times, and we should compare divas. He didn't have them back then.
No, he did not. Wow. They get their butts kicked.
Boy, I tell you, and I think you're right too, Tony, especially when it comes to tackling and whatnot. I think today's athletes are, I think their soft tissue, their muscles and whatnot, the quick twitch muscles are under a lot more stress. I think so more, and I think that's why there's a lot more damage being done to those.
Well, hamstrings.
Yeah, hamstrings.
Holy cow.
Torn pectoral muscles is a big thing now, you know?
Yeah, and hitting is such a hard thing to simulate unless you do it. Yeah,
agreed.
And, you know, you can prepare all you want in the weight room and you can do all the running and you can come into camp in great shape, but football shape or practice shape is different than coming in great condition. You still, after 2-3 days, if you're in good shape, you'll get used to that practice schedule or that practice hitting shape. But if you're not hitting, like, there's nothing that can simulate that. And then come Sunday, it's all ears pinned back and people are going full speed. And that's where a lot of the stuff's happening that we're seeing.
Yeah, I don't care who you are. You got to get those reps in.
You have to
have live speed angles. You have to figure out how to absorb it, much less inflict it. Exactly. Yep.
Hey, Tony, you know, one thing I still remember when you were with the Colts and I came down there for a game and I isolated on you, you were, as a guard, you fired out and you hit harder than anybody around. I mean, I'm not blowing smoke up your butt here or anything like that. You had a couple of years there as a guard. Boy, did you find your niche. Because, I mean, you had that strength when you would fire out. You had to be saying to yourself at some point, I'd rather play guard than offensive tackle. I mean, you were in your wheelhouse there, weren't you? You looked so comfortable.
Yeah. When you're playing guard, we used to call it playing in a phone booth. Like you have somebody on your right and left. And if you can stand your ground in that little area, you're going to be effective. And, I was strong. So that was a good area for me. You know, when I play tackle, like your tackle is probably one of your better athletes on the offensive line, because you're on an island and you're going up against a defensive end, usually one-on-one. So when I went up, now going way back into the early 90s, when Reggie White was playing for Philly and I would go up against Reggie White, by the end of that game, I decided I think I'd be better at guard.
I think a lot of guys thought that about themselves.
I'll take a number.
Lots of offensive tackles said, "Hey, coach, you know what? I think guard would be great." But
coach, do you think we could have the back chip this guy on the way out to his pattern?
Keep the tight end maybe. Yeah, but he was a different. When the good Lord said, "I'm going to create certain things," and he just.
Yes.
When you look back on some of his, when he would, that Max Lane for the Patriots in that Super Bowl, when he literally lifted him off the ground and flung him backwards, my goodness.
Bull rush.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think he did it two plays in a row.
Yes.
He ended up having two.
Yes.
It like changed the game.
Absolutely. Turned it around.
It was stunning. It was stunning to watch. And just a whole different level of football player and human being. Reggie White was just first class all the way around.
Absolutely. Tony, we got to set it to a 1 minute break. Can you stay with us?
Yes, sir.
Thanks, my friend. Tony Mandarich joining us here on Football Friday, brought to you by Burkle's One Block Over. Back right after this. Films music. The Behemoth from Michigan State. The Spartan. Tutor by the legendary coach of all time, Buck Nystrom. And now, ladies and gentlemen, one of his all-time favorite pupils, Tony Mandarich. Tony, what is going on in Phoenix, Arizona?
I thought we'd never get to the interview. All Tony, right, so how are you, man? Welcome back.
Wow.
Welcome back.
Man, I thought, was that the Undertaker?
right.
Yeah, man.
Land of a brick wall, brother. I'm going to run right through it.
Right.
Hey, it was either Undertaker or Wolfman Jack. What are you doing?
It's a little hybrid.
Oh, yeah. Hybrid.
Which 90% of your listeners won't know who is.
Oh, you'd be surprised. We got diehard wrestling fans on this show.
Welcome to the Midnight Special, sponsored by Chevrolet.
And the Midnight Special, Wolfman Jack. Absolutely.
Good
news, next Little River Band.
Oh, man, get me started.
They're listening, Tony. They're listening.
Absolutely. Tony, do you still hunt and everything? Is it tough to do in Arizona?
Right.
It's tougher to do in Arizona unless you're doing like scorpions,
or javelinas.
But you'd be surprised up north, like north in like Flagstaff, where NAU is. I mean, it's like the Midwest because they're like 11,000 feet elevation. Yeah. And, you know, if you want to see, if you live in Phoenix and you want to see a tree or trees, you drive up to Flagstaff. Otherwise, you're seeing cactus.
Yeah, that's so my favorite part of Arizona.
And there's a lot of elk up there, and there's a lot of mule deer and other animals. So it's I don't hunt, I mean, hardly anymore at all. But I love it.
That's a beautiful state. I mean, Arizona is kind of get the rap of the cask.
Could be if you're not careful.
The, you know, the prickly thing. You know that the
cactus.
Yeah,
is that hard of a word?
No,
I'm you were just... mayor for 16 years.
We don't cactus. Have those here. Okay. All I'm saying is that Arizona is a beautiful state. The Grand Canyon with the
northerner. I lived in Tucson. I lived in Phoenix. Yeah. My favorite place in all of Arizona is north of around Prescott in that area.
Doesn't get the credit.
Nope,
the
you're
state
exactly
deserves.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Because I think
there.
That's a beautiful state, and I can see why people live there because of the northern Arizona.
Tony, Jim is on a mission. We're bringing you back to Green Bay.
It is, Tony. I said that to Johnny after you were on last time. We would love to have you back in Green Bay. Not that I'm going to put you in a big room with a bunch of people and you got to give a talk, although I'd like you to do that. And we'll go 50-50 on the deal.
Teach you how to pick rocks.
Might be a ticketed event.
Teach John how to pick rocks while we're
here.
See Tony has been a phenomenal rock picker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yes. Are you kidding?
Yes.
Phenomenal.
I'll make sure to bring my eight. I'll bring my Carhartt coveralls.
You do that.
You cannot get lower pad level picking rocks than anything else in life.
Right.
And works the pad level.
Yes, just like wrestling.
I'll drive the tractor.
Air conditioned one, right?
But Tony, our invitation. I mean, we're serious about that too. We would love to have you come up here, and the city has changed so much since you've been here, and you're well loved. After you were on last time, how many texts and people were like, "That guy's awesome." It's
for
like,
a couple
we know
weeks.
That. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Put it
well,
on your-
you know, yeah, and I haven't been, you know, I haven't been back since maybe like, you know, early 90s, last time I was back there. And I have friends that, you know, will drive through Green Bay or go through Green Bay, and they're like, you just can't believe how much it's changed, and it looks incredible.
Yeah, it's you wouldn't believe the stadium. You would just be, in awe. You'd be in awe of the stadium now. It's unbelievable. Tony, do you still follow football, or are you so close to it? Because guys are a little, usually two ways. And some of them are, it's like, you know what? I had enough, been there, done that. Or it's kind of fun to watch and know what's going on. Where are you in that spectrum?
Well, I followed football like hardcore, just like any, you know, football fan would, all the way up to about, I want to say, 5 years ago.
Okay.
And now I follow it way more casually. I think there's a lot of reasons, rule changes.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, obviously I was an offensive player, but some of the defensive players now and defenses in general, I think are put at such a disadvantage with some of these things that, you know, covering receivers, or you can't really hit the quarterback. I mean, those people should have fear in them. Like when I think of Jerry Rice and the record that he set as a wide receiver, well, he had to go across the middle to catch a pass knowing that, you know, a safety could take his head off. We're now, and I'm not discrediting receivers now, but they kind of know that's probably not going to happen because somebody can get kicked out of a game or fined if they hit him like a defenseless receiver. So, and a lot of those rules have changed to make it higher scoring, and it's supposed to be more exciting. And I guess for some people it is. And for me, it's, I think because I have something to compare to me, it's kind of made it very, such a huge advantage for the offense.
It's watered down defense.
I don't get as excited as I used to watch football. I do to watch college football. Although college football, you know, you can play college football, make as much money as the pros.
Yeah.
And that starts.
We were just talking about that.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
That starts today, right?
Well, it started last night. Yeah.
Last night.
So speaking of the NIL.
Michigan State plays tonight. So.
Oh. You still a Spartan at heart?
Yes, absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely. The only thing, I just don't know why we play teams that are like the team we're playing tonight. We have everything to lose, nothing to gain.
Who are you playing, Tony?
If we beat them like Florida Atlantic or something.
Okay,
like that,
sure.
If we beat them like by 50, we should have beat them by 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's close, we're going to get criticized. And then you have the possibility of losing. And that's what makes college football so exciting. So I don't know why we just don't play, you know, top teams, and that way you get better.
Those Florida schools, you never know what you're going to get, though. They're like a bunch of chocolates.
I know. You know? Well, did you see that one game last night? Stephen F. Austin from Texas against somebody. It was 70-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
70-0 at halftime. Yes.
Well, that's the NILs for you. That's the NILs for you. They're making it's making the rich richer again.
Absolutely.
You know, bringing now the Big Ten expanding. Absolutely. All that jazz.
Dennis, how do you keep an audience, though, at that?
I mean, it was a smaller school, but still 70-0 at halftime. It's like, come on, guys. Yeah.
And a paying audience at that.
Someone right. Change that schedule.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't like those kind of games.
So if you can compare and contrast a little bit about the way the new school is for college football. I mean, like you're talking about, guys are taking 4 to 6 years now to get through school.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, sometimes 7 with medical, you know, issues, whatever. But they're getting paid nowadays. I mean, what would have been like for you back in the day? I mean, you were being very highly recruited and whatnot and making a big name for yourself in school. I mean, the world would have been your oyster at 18, 19 years old already. You know, think of the difference it would have made in your life back then.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been a huge difference. But, you know, you know, you look now in the pros, a draft pick that's in the first round, offensive line, they're going to make a ton of money, even if they're a backup. When I came out, you know, people, offensive linemen didn't make as much money. I think I kind of helped break that ceiling, and other offensive linemen got to make more and more money as, you know, years went by. But if you look, excuse me, if you look back to like 10 years before my draft in 79, like those guys were keeping two jobs. So,
that's something.
You know, so they could feed their families, and they were school teachers in the off season.
Picking rocks.
Were, you know, they were doing, they were picking rocks in farm fields and but so, you know, when I look at my draft, I'm like, okay, well, I had it way better than the guys in the 70s. And then as time goes on, obviously everybody's going to get it better. I don't know if inflation went up that much that people are making as much money as they are now.
Tony, I hate to say
getting it.
I hate to say it. We are out of time.
Oh, Tony, you're awesome.
We're going
to get you back.
Can we get you back on again in a few weeks?
Absolutely.
Tony Mandridge.
It was a pleasure being on, and I hope the Packers kick some butt this year.
You are the man. Thank you so much. Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here on a Friday morning. Special thanks to Tony Mandridge. Dennis, you and he connected.
I'm so lucky.
That was pretty cool.
Connected on radio.
But how funny is this? We've got Dennis, the star of the glam band. We've got Tony Mandridge, who's Tony Mandridge. And those two guys connect over what?
Picking rocks.
Yes, picking rocks.
That's the magic of this radio station.
Absolutely. Well, Dennis, take it away. This is our favorite part of the week. We have the music series brought to you by the Heights Pub and Parlor. And tell everybody who we got here, brother.
We have a big keyboard in front of us named Mr. Yamaha.
That's right.
And some guy named Dan Rafferty's here to show us how it's done.
Chuck Yamaha is here, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, Dan, I just get saying, I think you're
careful.
It's really it. Happy Friday, friends.
That's right. Everybody happy.
Dueling Pianos has got to be one of the, next to the glam, one of the most known. I'm going to call it an entity because it's just it. And I want to just, I'll tell you the story. You guys opened up the City Deck many, many years, you know, and that was a big investment. Mm-hmm. And we had all this, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. You know, that kind of stuff. And then we opened it up with you. And it was just wall to wall people. The boats all showed up and your draw. And I remember my wife and I went there and our kids were in high school then. And we look over and they're there. And I'm like, this is going to work. You know,
right.
When you can get everybody in an environment and then you can get the right music to bring everybody in.
Yeah.
And you just everywhere you go, it's just you are crowd pleasers like Dennis.
Exactly. Yeah. So the fact is, what's nice about it, it's all request based. So we don't really prepare anything for our shows now. Do a lot of the same songs come up? You bet.
Heck yeah.
But at the same time, it makes it that much more fun for us because some of the songs we know extremely well and do very well. Some of the songs, right, if John ever comes to a show, he's going to request the Kingston Trio. And we're going to be
heard about that, huh?
Yeah.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley.
Yeah.
hang down your head and cry.
I have a feeling every sentence is going to end with a John song, which is fine.
Okay.
That's the whole thing. I'm all for it. This is great.
If I had a hammer,
I'd hammer in the morning.
That's right. So Nikki from the Timber Rattlers, Otis, and Nick all warned me about you. So I'm already prepared, trained, ready to go. So this is going to be fun.
But you're a longtime listener.
Yes,
I am. First-time caller.
Absolutely.
Is it a three-point stance or a four-point stance that you're in right now?
Right now, I'm in a two-point stance.
Oh, yeah. He's ready.
Well, yeah. He's ready to rock. Yeah. He's ready to rock.
He's ready to pick rocks.
He's ready to kick rocks, one of the two.
Did
right?
you grow up on a farm?
Hello.
I did not. My dad was a green Chicago cop, and then we moved up here in the early 70s, and he taught police science at NWTI.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. That'll bring you back.
You want to know what was the number one song in July of 1974?
I do not know.
The night Chicago died.
Oh, really?
Paper Lace.
Yeah, Paper Lace. Yeah. Yeah.
So you get two
That's
music
a great
guys.
Song, it too. Is. It is.
Yeah, that was a great... Do you do that one?
Yeah, we don't do that
one. Oh, is it Todd?
He is quick, man.
Daddy was coming. Remember this song, Jim?
Yes, I do. This I remember. Yeah, and thanks for playing it.
That's all right.
Dan.
Nice work, Todd.
You are unbelievably talented.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you are.
Can you tell my wife, too? That'd be great.
No, I'm talking about music. Where did it all start? Since you were a little kid?
Yeah, my parents both played piano. They were not professionals, but we had a piano at the house all the time. And all four Rafferty kids were required to take lessons for at least a year. And it stuck with me for about 18 months. Then we had to start doing scales, which I hated.
Yeah.
And it became way too formal. But by then, I knew enough to be dangerous. So this would have been, you know, this would have been 83, 84. This was all the rock bands that had their power ballads.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but right, Billy Joel and Elton John and whatnot, too. But they had, you know, all these different groups that were just popping up that had music songs. And then people would ask, you don't know that song. Do you want to play the three chords? Because a lot of these songs are just three chords. And girls would start showing up. And I'm like, I can get used to learn more about
this.
I can
it
make
always
this
comes
work.
Back to that with you guys, doesn't
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely right. Right. Back when I was her age, way back when.
Yeah.
By the way, that's Danica in the background for everybody watching.
Just some random
Danica,
person.
Danica, come here and say hello real quick.
Yeah.
Come in here.
Hello,
and Danica. By you've the way, got that music, but
hi.
There's what right. is your what is your lifetime dream, Danica?
I just want to rock.
Oh, yeah, she wants to pick rocks. Yeah, tell everybody about the band that you're in.
I'm in a band called Decades, and we play rock through the decades.
Love it.
Nice.
It's
awesome. That's
and
very awesome. Cool.
And a younger band, you know, and they're just getting started. You've been around for
awesome,
a few
though.
Years, but you guys are really good, and Dennis has been such a mentor to them.
Awesome.
How's Dennis as a mentor?
He's probably the biggest role model in my life for
sorry
the music.
For you.
Wow.
Yes. Operators are standing by to take your call.
Wow, that's
you
cool. That.
Aren't you her uncle, John?
No.
Oh, I thought you were. Okay, I was just talking about her mentor in her life.
I don't think so.
Hey, dueling pianos. I want to go back to
dueling pianos. Hey.
I think you guys are terrific. And I've seen you many, many times, fundraisers, you know, and big events.
Community events, ticket events, you bet.
You're right. And
did you guys play Escanaba together this summer?
No.
No,
okay.
different
Was that a different
group?
Okay, never mind.
We've been up there at the fairgrounds and whatnot, too. We opened for the Screaming Seagulls once.
Okay.
Have you ever seen these guys?
No.
They are massive. They, I think
Escanaba from, State Fair?
They're from Finland. No, it was for a private party, but there was 2,000 people there. So we're opening for the Screaming Seagulls. Have you heard of these guys?
No, I have not.
So they are all over 6'5". They are massive Finland people that do bluegrass or rockabilly, but they take all of the songs that we know, and they do a Thunderstruck, and they do it with a banjo.
Nice.
And then they have an anvil on stage, and the only English, they're like ABBA, the only English they speak is what they sing.
I have to have seen it. As soon as you said anvil.
They come in on the tractor and everything like
that's
that in the video. Yeah,
awesome.
It was them.
Anyway. Oh, that sounds fantastic.
That's cool. All right, so... I want to get back to you again.
Todd wants him to play.
Todd wants me to play.
All right.
Todd,
he's got the
Todd. Does Todd have any requests? What do you want to hear, Todd?
That's
how it works. Not that I can play.
Tie me kangaroo down, Spoke.
That's right. That's a good one.
Tie me kangaroo down.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts, right? Daily D. That's right. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Two of them standing in a row. Fat ones, short ones, things that kick rocks, things that have fun, and others that have the pox. That's right. Okay, anyway. Let's go.
Listen to this.
Again, it's just stupid, silly, whatever.
But it works.
It's the best part of it.
It's the best part of it.
Yeah.
One time it was kind of stumped the band, or maybe it was requests, and just, it was everything. And then somebody, some kid yelled out, You know Barney, that purple dinosaur?
Yeah, I love you, you love me, or Baby Shark or something.
You jump into all that stuff. But
yeah.
Do you have a favorite? I mean, you guys...
No, right? That's the most asked question of me, and it's not. I mean, we do, like I said, a lot of our show is a lot the same just because everybody wants to hear, you know, Don't Stop Believing, and wants to hear Brown Eyed Girl and Piano Man and everything else like that. But the most fun for us is when you're playing across from that other guy, you know what genres they're familiar with, or I don't know this one really well, but I guarantee that guy probably has heard it. Before. Right. Like if somebody comes up, I'm bring the Kingston Trio up again. My father used to listen to the Kingston Trio.
Absolutely. I grew up.
And that was
it.
The only thing. And they'll throw up the Kingston Trio's seventh most popular hit. And I'll be like, well, how about Tom Dooley? Can we do that one? Is that right? So again, we don't know the words to any of them. Whereas you guys gotta sound like the band and everything else like that. That's what they're expecting. It's 80s, 90s, hair, metal, rock, everything. With us, it doesn't. They're like, they're just a couple old guys doing their thing. No, we're not that old. But anyway, it's just I love the spontaneity of it.
That's so just
absolutely.
That's where the fun of it is, though. Too. I mean, to be from a musician standpoint, you have to be in the zone more, and probably doing this and doing pianos probably more than anything else because you're working off the other guy, you're working off the crowd, and it's a situational awareness thing. They talk about the military, obviously, but there's something about it that it's you're really grinding with your brain through that process.
Yep. Let me ask you this, and again, you guys make it all look so effortless, but Jim and I talk about this a lot in a lot of different things. The discipline aspect of music, and I remember you bringing that up early on, Jim. I didn't realize that. You know what I mean? It's because you guys, like I said, you make it look so easy.
The two things. You make it look easy, and the other things, I don't think people, unless they've done it, have appreciation. Like, they look at the field, and they see these athletes or these wrestlers, and they're like, oh, my God, these guys have been practicing for months.
Right.
Oh, sure. But, I mean, the band, the theater, the discipline is there, and sometimes even more. I mean, the hours that people put into that, you know, violin, the whole thing. I just think it's, when I see an orchestra or something, it's like, there's a lot of talent on that stage.
Yeah, what's nice is you get through that big hump of being able to learn everything and get to where you're at, and then you just learn how to learn.
Right.
So that makes it super, and I say easy, but you're able to pick up songs that much quicker, whether it's a blurb that just pieces the audience wants to hear, or if you have to make it sound exact, like sometimes we have to do for songs, and you guys always have to do for songs. It's not that.
And a big thing in music and theater too is the transition from, like you said, doing scales and learning to where it's fun, and then you practice. We didn't have to tell you to practice anymore.
Right.
You're just going into your room and your piano. Yeah,
right.
And
I think that's cool. You get to hear the song. You can just write. You just write.
Right.
And you just learn it and play it, and we can just go from there.
Yeah.
You love that song, don't you? No, good. That's why I like even more. That's fantastic.
That was. Can you do that again in super slow? I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor.
No, go ahead.
Downtown.
I asked you what your favorite was. You didn't say it, but
no.
How about what's your most requested?
The most requested has got to be songs like Piano Man or whatever's hot on the radio.
Okay,
God forbid we got to learn, you know, more Post Malone or
we got a request
like that,
here for Brown Eyed Girl.
Brown Eyed Girl.
All right, we'll
that's
do that.
That's nice. I like
Let's
that.
Stop
that's
or your mom will
fine.
Shoot.
That's right. That's fine.
Dan
that's
Rafferty.
Fine. That's
panels.
I can find that. Days when the rains came down at the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and running, skipping and all jumping in the misty morning fog. And I was all bumping with you. Who was she, guys? Who was it?
Brown Eyed Girl.
You, my Brown Eyed Girl. You guys know this middle part, right? Do you remember when we used to sing? I'm gonna take him on the road with us.
That's
exactly how we do it. With you and you and you, my brown eyed girl.
Jump in, Dennis.
Yeah.
You, my brown eyed girl.
How much fun is that, right? And everybody sings, even though they can't. There's like people like John in the crowd, they can't sing, and they just love it. They're out there, you know, and it's all good
stuff. We bring
the
lights way down so people can't see each other trying, because otherwise people are too self-conscious to seriously get involved.
But you guys,
it's a party when you guys show up.
It is a party.
Exactly right.
And really, like the glam band, too, and I've said this to Dennis, used to work at the Carlton and did a zillion shows, and I think they, some start, they crescendo, and then they go down.
Okay, oh, you hear?
I just want to say that you guys start and stay high.
Yes.
What, John?
Speaking of staying high, did you hear a story about the Kingston Trio when he gave them a ride back to their hotel?
No.
Go ahead, tell it.
No, tell it. They were at the Carlton.
Yes.
And it was the last night of their show.
You worked there.
And I worked
Kingston
there.
Trio.
I did the lighting, and it was, and we were taking our lights down, and then they were standing there.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you know how we're getting back to the hotel? I said, no, I don't know. I said, well, I'll give you a ride in my car. So I gave them a ride in my car, and then the guy, like, for a tip, he just reached over in front there in the back, and he just thought that was a huge joint, but it was really poorly, it was really poorly rolled.
You okay? I did mention my father was a cop and taught police science, right? Yeah. My
dad wrote a song about it. It's called Tom Doobie.
So, that's right. Yes. So I sold it to Mino.
Put your pants back on, Tom Doobie. Yes.
That was,
there you go.
Get this. How about the piano part of Layla?
Layla?
Yeah.
Which version?
That's right. Which one? The fast one or the slow one?
I like this. Right? Junction.
That's right.
What's that function?
Seriously, and we can do that in
working
the middle of our songs.
Working out words and phrases and
causes.
We can,
if it's something sounds like it sounds something, like, we'll go right into that, and we don't care.
I saw a documentary last night that was phenomenal. It was about Don McLean and Garth Brooks about American Pie.
Okay.
About what that really, how deep that song from his life experience and everything. You ever think about doing that, putting together some original things about, you know, things that...
and that's not a slam. That's not a slam. People come to our shows because they want to hear the familiar stuff.
Yeah.
They want to hear stuff they've heard a million times.
They do.
Or we never hear this song anymore. I completely forgot about that song. Or we get that song from left field and it's like, oh, really? They want to be able to hear Angel. Or they want to hear something like, you're my angel. Uh-huh, and I'm like, really? You want to hear that one?
Really?
Or
do you bring music? Yeah, like we bring a laptop or whatever that's called.
It's for we bring a tablet along with us here and there. It's mostly for the words, you bet, because we don't know the second verse to any song.
I mean, you have no music in front of you, and everything we yell out, you're
extremely
just
rarely. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Heading into a break here. Can we have a little Sweet Caroline for the
show?
Sure.
Wow, that's gonna be number one
for a $20 tip next time.
Nice.
Or we'll just be able to begin.
Dan takes Venmo, by the way.
I can't freaking say. We have Venmo, too. That's right. But I know it's growing strong.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get right into it here.
Sound like picking rock strong.
Sweet Caroline. Ba, ba, ba. Good times never seem so good.
So good. So good.
So good. So good. Yeah. Oh, what's the one more?
I've been inclined.
Ba, ba, ba.
To believe I never would. Sweet Caroline. Ba da 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 bum ba da bum ba da da ba da 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 dum ba da dum ba da da. You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will. Oh, what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I laughed at love and I thought it was funny. You came along and you woo me, honey. You changed my mind. This love is blind. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Kiss me, baby. Woo.
Feels wild, good. Man.
Hold me, baby. I want to love you like a lover should. You're fine. So kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. Chain my nails and a twiddle my bones.
Dan Rafferty, dueling pianos, along with Dennis from the glam band. Jim, what's our motto every day? Everybody that walks in is
cooler than us.
Cooler than us.
And boy, does Dan do it.
Oh, that is, you guys are nice.
I mean, Jerry Lee Lewis, just everything. I mean, is there anything you don't know?
There's plenty I don't know. And
that's what it's fairly for.
It's fairly obvious. It's fairly obvious, yes.
Or you can fake it if you don't know it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, maybe that's it. You guys have always been just
it's all about
top
belief.
Of the game.
Yeah.
If you to the next song, too, it seems like, that's about as far as we're going to go.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
that
what we do.
Want to make sure you guys get a little plug-in. Where are you guys performing this weekend?
Sure. Actually, tonight we're going to be at the Sheboygan County Fair. Actually, we have two sets of equipment, so it's not going to be me down there. It's going to be two of our other guys. We've got about five guys that we can roll through when it comes to different shows. I'm going to be over at Nowak Field over in De Pere watching... DePere take on Notre Dame tonight because I'm one of the coaches over there as
right.
well. Right. So that'll be fun. And then Sunday, we're going to be over
Sunday.
We're going to be over at the Howard Commons from 5 till 8 out there. So if you guys have not been out there, here's a great excuse. Get warmed up with the glam band tonight, right?
Bring your tents.
Exactly. And, you know, make a weekend out of it. Let's they got the beer garden right there.
It's America.
And Uber Eats. They're good to go.
Yeah.
What's your address? We're right in the middle of the field by the amphitheater. That's where we're at. Just drop off. The...
Yeah, man. We'll put a pin somewhere for you.
I've heard great things we'll about that. Pin. We didn't make it over there this summer.
Yeah. And that Arnie and Gloria Schmidt, who were big, just great people in this community,
sure.
donated significantly to that amphitheater yep. that you're playing in tonight.
They did not skimp. It is really, really cool. Yeah, no, it is really cool out there.
Some of the nicest people are both gone now. But that is a great place. But I just, you know, look, Howard's a different municipality than Green Bay, but I can tell you there's no overnight camping. You
oh, no? Okay.
You will be
there again. You know what, guys?
My plans are ruined, man.
That's right.
Freedom Rock, my eye.
Where are you guys going to be?
Tonight, Howard Commons.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow night, we're doing the veterans barbecue event over in Fremont.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, fun. That's gonna be fun. I get to put my BDUs back on for the first time in a long time.
Are you
time.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah. Whatever that spells, right?
That's fantastic.
And then, are they
putting you at the end of the main drag like they always do too? So on that one stage that you put up or outside the bridge bar or whatever it is? Is that where you guys going to be?
It's actually at a different site. It's a private site this year.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Danica, do you have a gig coming up this weekend?
Yeah. She does.
Come on here.
All right,
Let's hear it.
Sure got quiet around here.
It did.
Decades is playing tomorrow night. That is Saturday, the
30th.
30th. We're playing at Gibby's Doghouse. It's in Reedsville from 2 to 4. And then I believe around 5 or 6, the Ghost Town Blues Band coming all the way from Tennessee is playing after us.
Wow. Mm. All right. I think you need to do a quick duet here with Dan.
Then putting her on the spot. Yeah,
give us one of your songs that you like to sing, Danica.
If Dennis does it, I'll do it.
If Dennis does it, she'll do it. All right.
A trio.
Pick the song.
What is it?
The Kingston Trio.
There we go.
There you go.
You come right here.
Song about it.
Come on.
Hang down your head, Tom. Dooley.
She doesn't know that song.
We barely know that song.
Wrote a song about it. I'm picking up rocks this morning.
Yeah. We do that too. We make stuff up.
There you go.
Van Halen.
Oh,
wow.
Van Halen.
Up the mic.
Can you play You Really Got Me?
Nice.
You know what key you do it in?
Key of Orange.
I couldn't tell you.
You couldn't tell me. You can. You're allowed to. It's all right. It's all right.
You like G.
That's too high. Girl.
You really got me now. Got me so I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Girl, you really got me now. Got me so I can't sleep at night. Girl, you really got me now. Got me so I don't know where I'm going, yeah. Oh, yeah. You really got me now. Got me so I can't sleep at night.
You really got me. You really got me.
You
really got me. You really got me.
Please. Don't ever let me be. I only wanna be by your side. Please don't ever let me be. I only wanna be by your side. Girl, you really got me now. Got me so I don't know what I'm doing, yeah. Oh yeah, you really got me now. Got me so I can't sleep at night.
You really got me.
Wow.
You really got me.
Wow.
You really got me.
That was I like that. That's right.
Oh,
cut out before the solo. All right.
Nicely done. What was the name of the place again in Reedsville?
Gibby's Doghouse.
Right. 2 to 4.
Nice. Got another text here. Big show at Ledgestone Winery tonight. Dead Horses from 6 to 10. Be there. Boy, you guys stay so big. I get such a kick out of you guys. All the different things you guys do. And you still coach football.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know what I mean? I think that's awesome.
Yelling at kids, that's always stress relieving. It's great. I love it.
Cool. What I get a kick out of is how hard you work in the evening, and then you're still here.
That's what I mean.
7, 8 in the morning. You know, your energy.
You're road warriors.
As parents, when our kids were in theater, you know, we all want to go to bed at 9 o'clock.
Right.
They're out. You know, they just get their second wind, or they're actually their first wind, and you know, you keep it going. I mean, for you to go play coach. Yep. You know, you got it going.
Yeah. Now, Dennis, do you guys drive home usually pretty much every night?
We have drivers for that.
Oh, you're lucky.
Yeah, he went from Merrill, Wisconsin,
right,
Escanaba to Milwaukee in 3 days, correct?
Yep. Plus, well, we had to, you know.
And then you come here.
Sure.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. He's saving up for the private jet.
That's not it. So we still load in. We still load into our show, load out.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
The glamcopter.
I can't think what I do without loading in and loading out.
Yours is a little.
It's like picking rocks, man.
Yours is a little easier, though. I mean,
pianos?
But somebody puts your piano. You don't do that.
We do it all ourselves.
You do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Wow. You think this body just came from?
You ever said that? Jim comes from a world of 8 people every day would be sitting around a desk, and he'd walk in. Here's what I want to do. I want to drop ping pong balls from a helicopter. We'll take care of that, Mr. Mayor.
Absolutely, sir. Whatever you
need. We got it done. Yeah.
As God's my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Somebody dabbing your head with a handkerchief.
All I want is the dueling pianos to open up the city deck landing. We spent $13 million on that, and you did. That was a big thing for us to get you there.
Yeah.
It did. It set the tone. Yeah. And I just want to thank you for that.
Kidding me? We are thrilled to be down there, and working with Downtown Green Bay is such a great group to be able to help out. And they're a sharp group, and they take care of everything. It's awesome.
Dan Rafferty, Dueling Pianos. Awesome having you in here, buddy.
Where do we find you?
Washington, you can find us on Facebook, on Instagram.
We don't do that anymore. We can find us at newduelingpianos.com, newduelingpianos.com. Or, you know, off the Mino show. We can find
there you go, baby. Dennis Glamband, thanks so much for being here.
Great to be here as always, guys. Thank you so much.
Have everybody a really safe Labor Day weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday morning. See ya!